WMFO Medford. Good afternoon and welcome to the Voicemobile. I'm your host, Joyce the Voice. Well, we have a gorgeous day out there. It's a little chilly, but we'll take it. It's sunny and no humidity. I think we're going to have a bit of a cold night, and I think it's going to warm up after that. So, you know, welcome to New England weather. So, all right, those of us in the Jewish community are getting ready for what we call the High Holy Day season. The month of Elul we're in, and in less than 2 weeks, we will be observing Rosh Hashanah, the new year, Rosh, the head of the new year, and then following that, Yom Kippur, a day of atonement, and following that, Sukkot. So there's all kinds of holidays, and right now we're still trying to prepare mentally for the holy days. The way of looking at it is that instead of God sitting on his crown and his castle, I can't think of what I want to say, throne, that's what I want to say. Instead of being there in the castle on his throne, he's in the field and is approachable. So anybody who wants to approach can, and you know, ask forgiveness. Now, the kind of forgiveness that you have between you and your fellow person, you need to take care of that. That's your business. But the forgiveness between you and God, you and Hashem, that can be taken care of. So our job now is to be self-examining and seeing where we may have fallen short. Who, me? And where we can do better. Because in our tradition, it's like, do you miss the mark? Or are you reaching your fullest potential? And everybody has more that they can do. I was at a terrific lecture yesterday, and of course I forgot to bring my phone with me. Deborah, and I'm thinking it's Eisenstadt? I can't remember. She's a woman who's written quite a few books, and the most recent one is about anti-Semitism, you know, what's happening right now. It was very well attended lecture, and thanks to one of my colleagues here, Eddie, who advised me of this lecture, and very precise, very succinct understanding of what exactly anti-Semitism is. Deborah Lipstadt, I think I have it right now. I highly recommend you go either to the Tufts website to find out more about it. Her recent book is published by Knopf. I'm going to try to get a hold of a copy so I can quote some for you. I didn't bring anything to take notes with. But essentially, it's like a perfect storm happening right now of things happening both in here in America, in Europe, in the Middle East, and we have to not just stand by. If there are things happening, we have to be active and speak up. And she talked about different categories of anti-Semitism, and the one she said was actually the most dangerous was the one that was more subtle, because there's, you know, the flaming anti-Semitists. And then there's ones that are sort of in the middle. And then there's those that are, you know, very subtle about it. But it's kind of an insidious thing. They don't even realize maybe that they're anti-Semite. So, and she also talked about the distinction between other kinds of prejudice. That is prejudice against people of color, against people of different persuasions, whether it's gay, lesbian, etc. And you know, she examined all these different aspects, and it was so beautifully done. She speaks beautifully, and it was a privilege, actually, to be at that lecture. So maybe there's something in the in your paper about it that you might want to look at. So, Deborah Lipstadt, anti-Semitism. I think it's Now, Then and Now. I'm not sure if I have the title exactly right. I have to get, once I get online, I'll be able to check. Excuse me. So, there are special prayers called Slichot. And according to the Ashkenaz tradition, it's done the Saturday night before the holy days. In the Sephardic community, they start doing these prayers 2 weeks before, from the beginning of the month of Elul. And so I'm going to share with you some of this. We won't listen to all of it, but Cantor Ben Zion Miller is the cantor on this. And it's really quite beautiful. Music by Yosela Rosenblatt, among others. And so this is actually according to the Orthodox and traditional ritual. And so this is called the first Slichot. And, you know, we'll see how far we go with this. Also, I want to make note of the passing of journalist Cokie Robertson. I didn't get to hear a lot about it, but I always enjoyed hearing her her take on things, especially on the Supreme Court. She was a terrific champion for democracy and freedom, and apparently she was also a lovely person in terms of how she took care of her staff and people and did it in a way that kept their dignity. I just heard a little bit on a program on the radio as I was coming home. So it's a loss for journalists and journalism. She was really a voice of clarity and of, dare I say, true facts. So, okay.
Oh, no, yes. Yeah.
Okay, so that was a really beautiful setting of the beginning of the Slichos. So I found the information. The Jonathan M. Tisch College of Civic Life was the one who was presenting at the ACN Auditorium at the Cabot Center. This was yesterday. It says, over the last decade, there has been a noticeable increase in anti-Semitic rhetoric and incidents targeting Jewish students and organizations on American college campuses. Many believe the resurgence of the white nationalist movement in America, complete with Nazi slogans and imagery, is reminiscent of fascist displays of the 1930s. Where is this hatred coming from, and what can be done to combat its latest manifestations? Renowned writer and Holocaust historian Deborah Lipstadt, okay, it's L-I-P-S-T, L-I-P-S-T-A-D-T, Lipstadt, is the Darot Professor of Modern Jewish History and Holocaust Studies at Emory University, the author of 6 books, including Denying the Holocaust, The Growing Assault on Truth and Memory, History on Trial, My Day in Court with a Holocaust Denier, and Anti-Semitism Here and Now. Lipstadt is broadly known for her victory in the widely publicized 1996 libel lawsuit brought against her by David Irving for calling him a Holocaust denier. She actually won that lawsuit. This event is sponsored through the generous support of Deborah Friedman Shapiro, J89, and Stephen Todd Shapiro, and by Tisch College, the School of Arts and Sciences Dean's Office, and the History Department. It is part of the School of Arts and Sciences Dean's Lecture Series. So it was absolutely terrific. And let's see if I can go back to what she said was the start of the anti-Semitic idea. And she talked about the church and how they identified the crucifixion of Jesus as coming from the Jews, that the Jews insisted that he be killed. The Romans didn't want to kill him. So the Christian community blamed the loss of Jesus on the Jewish community. But in fact, the Romans are the ones who actually crucified him. And so the church perpetrated this idea. And of course, the Crusades were, you know, a manifestation of this. And then, you know, it got picked up, the protocol of the Zion's Elders of Zion. It rears its head. It's never completely gone, and we have to be vigilant. So I just wanted to share that with you. That's a great place for lectures. I think your daily newspaper probably gives you events that are going on campus that you can take advantage of. So Tufts Talk, I think that's where it was. And thanks again to Ed Boucher for cluing me into that. He does a show here at WMFO called Plastic Sushi, Strawberries and Thyme, and Sound Collages. That's Fridays from 8 to 10. It looks like he has a couple of websites too, plasticsushi.com, tearsofthegods.com. Great. Terrific. So let me just look and see in my handy dandy. We have an obligation to share things with you. So, all right, the general interest meeting already happened September 15th. That was for this station if you wanted to be a DJ. Now, Community Day at Tufts is coming up. That's Sunday, September 22nd. Co-sponsored with the cities of Medford and Somerville, residents, neighbors, and friends are invited to celebrate the 17th annual Community Day at Tufts University from 11 a.m. to 3 p.m. on Sunday, September 22nd. The event will take place on the Academic Quad at Tufts, Medford, and Somerville campus and is co-sponsored by the two cities. Highlights of the day include music and dance performances by student groups, pumpkin painting, crafts, face painting, and other activities for children, plus complimentary lunch and refreshments. Sounds like a fun day. Community Day is free and open to the public. All events are handicapped accessible, and free parking is available. Wow. Events, including lunch, will take place on the main academic quad at the top of the hill by Goddard Chapel, Bellew Hall, and the Statue of Jumbo. Community Day will be held rain or shine. For more info, just search the web for Tufts Community Day. A public service message from the Tufts Office of Community Relations and WMFO in Medford, Tufts Community Radio. All right. Well, if you don't have things planned for Sunday, that would be a good thing to do. So I wanted to share something else with you. This is that Israel is offering a preview of its pavilion at the World Expo 2020 in Dubai. It's from the Times of Israel. And this is so gorgeous. I mean, you really have to go online to see this. It's called Towards Tomorrow, Israel's booth at UAE Exposition, a rare opportunity to showcase Israeli innovation in water technology, health, and high tech to the Arab world. It is so gorgeous. It says it hopes to showcase Israeli innovation to the Arab world and beyond. And it gives a clip. Now, that website, it's on the Times of Israel. So if you go to the Times of Israel, you should be able to find this. It shows a simulation of the pavilion, which is described as an icon, hope, and aspiration, and appears to focus on Israeli innovation and technology. The pavilion has no walls and no borders, according to the narrator of the short clip, an open invitation to join hands on the amazing history and journey forward and to shape our future together. Israel's invitation to the capital of the United Arab Emirates, a country that has no formal diplomatic relations with the Jewish state, for the expo was hailed by Israel and others as another sign of warming ties between Jerusalem and the Gulf states, in light of their common enmity to Iran. Israel and the Sunni Arab states have in recent years cooperated clandestinely. Foreign Ministry is pleased to be the leading government agency in Israel's participation in the Dubai Expo, which opens in October 2020 and closes in April 2021. The Foreign Ministry's Director General Yuval Rotem told the Times of Israel. It's a stage of global importance on which stage in which Israel has a great deal to contribute. The Israeli pavilion emphasizes the spirit of Israeli entrepreneurship and innovation, which has gained many fans around the world. He said, among other things, the Israeli booth will also showcase Israeli innovations and technologies in various fields, such as water, medicine, and information technologies. The pavilion was designed by Tel Aviv-based Nafo Klimore Architects. The official website of the World Expo features articles about the pavilions of nearly 40 participating countries, including Monaco, Belarus, and Turkmenistan, but not Israel. In April, the Foreign Ministry first announced that Israel will take part in the 2020 World Expo, with Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu hailing another expression of Israel's rising status in the world and the region. So, so the Israeli pavilion was designed as a giant vertical field of wheat, rice, and corn. Now just picture that. It's vertical, not horizontal. It was intended to showcase Israeli expertise in the drip irrigation technology that has enabled the cultivation of crops in arid areas around the world after first being developed on a kibbutz in the Negev desert. All right, so it's really quite fabulous. All right, let's go on to some more music here.
On Rosh Hashanah it is written, and on Yom Kippur it is sealed. Who shall live and who shall die? Who shall perish by fire and who by water? Who by sword and who by beast? Who by hunger, who by thirst? Who by earthquake and who by plague? On Rosh Hashanah it is written, and on Yom Kippur it is sealed. Who shall live and who shall die? Because
Yeah. ay baruch ato Hashem eleikeinu veleikei aboiseinu ay eleikei Abraham ya 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 I will care I good Chasodim Toivim Ha'vekoyim Hei Ha'yakoyim Ya-ya-ya-ya-ya-ya-ya-ya-ya-ya Ha'vezoichim Chasdeyovayis Ha'yomevigoyim Man Shemoy be Avon. I miss all of the white Hakom Nimone by name. I bid philo ubisachad ububunim I lechala vavavavais unechanein Pnei melech malchei amlochim Vadoinei ho I believe I'm
Okay, so that was Rabbi Shlomo Carlbach. Excuse me. Losing my voice here. This is from the Alger Minor, which is an online paper, dated September 15th. Suspect arrested in arson attack that destroyed historic Minnesota synagogue, by Benjamin Kirstein. It's terrible, terrible fire. Suspect has been arrested in arson attack that almost completely destroyed a Duluth, Minnesota synagogue last week. City officials announced Sunday that Matthew James Amiotes, 36, was arrested last Friday and is being held on charges of first-degree arson, the Duluth News Tribune reported. Paper states that the investigation into the fire involved 20 officials from the Duluth Police and Fire Departments, as well as the Federal Bureau of Alcohol, Tobacco, Firearms, and Explosives, which was called in because of the suspicion that the arson was a religiously motivated hate crime. The historic Adas Israel Synagogue caught fire in the early morning hours of September 9th, and despite efforts by firefighters, was all but destroyed. An assistant fire chief said the building was almost a complete loss. The only injury was a firefighter lightly hurt by falling debris. Several Torah scrolls were recovered intact from the synagogue's basement. Steve Hunnigs, executive director of the Jewish Community Relations Council of Minnesota and the Dakotas, commented, "We became aware of the arrest heading into Shabbat and will continue working with the Duluth Police Department to inform the Jewish community of the nature of this arrest as the investigation continues." Writer Sarah Rose, a descendant of one of the founders of Adas Yisrael, said arson would be our worst nightmare. "The most terrifying image to any Jew anywhere is a synagogue on fire," she added. "It is what our nightmares look like. There was no place kinder and more welcoming for Jews than the Upper Midwest," she said. "The thought this might be intentional and a hate crime is horrifying." Well, very sad news. But at least they got the suspect. So, I mean, that's good. Okay, so, and of course we know that the Knesset election results are inconclusive at this point. We don't know quite what's going to be with that, and we shall see what's going to be. I was just looking to see if there was another article in here that I wanted to share with you. Okay, the UK Communities Secretary announces funding of a new program to fight anti-Semitism online. Well, that's very apropos regarding the lecture that I spoke of earlier. This is by Benjamin Kirstein. Again, Britain's Community Secretary Robert Jenrick announced on Sunday that the UK government will fund a new program to fight anti-Semitism online. Let's see what else it has to say here. The money will go toward making educational videos that will be disseminated online to counter anti-Semitic materials. Jenrick said online hatred can be a pernicious force that not only causes immediate harm to its victims, but can embolden its perpetrators. This is one of the things that the lecturer, Deborah Lipschitz, said, that when the leadership is not decisive in condemning anti-Semitism, it emboldens some of the perpetrators of the recent attacks of violence. Indicated in their writings, they felt emboldened by Donald Trump, even though he may not have specifically said that something was okay or not okay. We know he made the comment that there are good people, both good and bad people, in that anti-Semitic comments in March that happened. So when you don't come out and strongly condemn, a lot of people can take it as, oh, it's a pass. He stated, this is again, Jenrick said, anti-Semitism has absolutely no place in our society, and I'm committed to tackling it at its root. Jenrick also called on government councils and British universities to adopt the International Holocaust Remembrance Alliance definition of anti-Semitism, which has been widely adopted by the international community. In a speech to the Board of Deputies of British Jews, Jenrick said, as our Prime Minister has said, our nation would be less without our Jewish citizens. Married to a Jew and with three Jewish daughters, I cannot imagine a Britain without our Jewish friends, neighbors, and loved ones. But I am all too aware of the challenges you face, he added. The scourge of anti-Semitism is a stain on our society. He also expressed his opposition to boycotts of Israel, saying, I will not tolerate them on my watch. On behalf of the Prime Minister and I, Toda Rabah, Anachnu Itchem Tamid, he said, using Hebrew for, we are with you always. University's Minister Chris Skidmore commented, there is no place in our society for hatred or any form of harassment, and it is frankly appalling that the battle against anti-Semitism still exists. Universities should recognize the internationally renowned IHRA working definition of anti-Semitism accepted by the government, he stated. I have already written to all vice chancellors earlier this year, urging them to do so. But in recent weeks, there have been alarming incidents demonstrating the need for further action and for universities to protect the welfare and act seriously on the concerns of Jewish students. He said universities must not risk damaging their reputation by not acting swiftly to root out anti-Semitism when it reveals itself. So, at the lecture yesterday, we learned that the day before, there had been an anti-Semitic incident here at Tufts University. I think it was a swastika placed on a door in one of the living quarters. I don't know which one. And in fact, one of the young students came up to the speaker, Deborah Lestat, and said that she was a friend of the person on whose door that anti-Semitic swastika was placed. So it's here. It's here at Tufts University, and it needs to be rooted out. I would say the president of the university, and I'm forgetting his name, came and opened up the conversation by stating that they will take appropriate action and they totally condemn this and it will not be tolerated at Tufts. So that was good to have him there and to hear what he had to say. So let's get back to some music here.
Baruch Ato Hashem
Mogen Avraham Hayato Gibava El Yavava El Mashem Chaye Mesim Avato Ravava Vleshia Ave Mavava Avava Yitato Shavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavav